Set this guitar. If I just get it there, I'm okay. This is fine.
Morning. We could have everybody come on in. We'll get started this morning. How are you today? Right. Welcome to Jenkins Church. Oops. Am I not talking loud enough? I don't like these microphones. Welcome. Welcome to Jenkins Church. How are you today? Good. Good. Good morning. Let everybody come on in. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning?
We do for the Sunday service. So they've been here before. Miss Childress, Doris Childress, raise your hand, Doris, and the gray-headed lady here. We must be kin. Are we kin?
The white-headed one.
Quiet. I mean, quiet. Sorry. Then her daughter, Regina Blackwood, we welcome them. And Stacy Atwood has been here numerous times, but her husband Ken is with us this morning. They're on the very back. So that's the ones I recognize myself the first time.
Okay. Welcome. Do we have any announcements this morning? Ms. Pam?
Tonight, Kids for Christ is at 5. The youth is going to meet with them at 5 o'clock to help them pack Operation Christmas Child boxes. The Dornans are preparing a meal for us. Also, my mind just went, if you have signed up to do anything with the play, the Christmas play, I'm sure Debbie would like for you to be here at 5, and the youth that are involved in that can meet with her and then come over and help us. Okay. Okay, maybe 4:30 if you need to try on costumes. Also, how could I forget that? We're going to have another Breakfast with Santa on December 6th. Here at the church. There will be up and coming information about it, but just put it on your calendar. Breakfast with Santa, December 6th, 8:30, and I'll get the information out to you next week, and it's to benefit the youth fund.
Word is, we will not have men's breakfast this Saturday. David, you talked to Steve. Okay. Due to other activities going on in the community, and the cooks involved, that's one reason. So, no men's breakfast this coming Saturday. Retirees. And there's little strips of signs up on each exit door. I know I spell retirees wrong. I put it retires, but I was saving ink with this thing. I was saving Magic Parker. Retirees, be here at 11 o'clock. Be here at church at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. Wednesday, 11 o'clock, retirees. But go eat.
Yesterday, we had... Yes, ma'am.
Bazaar.
$5,000 on the bazaar. Yesterday, we went to Lafayette, and we worked on the house for the lady that had her house destroyed by the tornado. It was... there were 9 of us. There were 3 youth. That was Andrew Dornan and Travis Trammell and Morgan Williams and Pam. And we had Dave England, Larry Barnes, Bill Rowland, Tommy Joe, and myself as all. Did I miss somebody? Does that make 9? I'm from North Nashville. My math's not that good. But we got all the siding on yesterday, and we got a lot of the soffit done. There's a little bit more work to do, but I appreciate everybody that went, and they were just thrilled to have us and to get all the work done on their house. So thank you, everybody that went.
Are there any other announcements? Okay. What about prayer requests? Anybody have any prayer or praise requests?
Mr. Sharpton.
Any others? Oh. Okay. Herschel Key, you think Key? Any other prayer requests? I'm sorry, Ken. Not, let's take a moment for silent prayer to prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Amen. God, who brought our ancestors up from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, and who did great signs in their midst.
It is the Lord our God who has protected us and loved us through all the years.
It is the Lord our God whose own Son, Jesus Christ, died and rose again, conquering death.
It is the Lord our God whom we worship today. Amen.
Now, if you will, please, to hymn 64, All Creatures of Our God and King. Let's sing 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5.
Song, we see that St. Francis of Assisi was a man of nature, and there are so many accounts of his love for nature, but he's a man of God, and he loved God, and he was calling us, all of creation, to worship God. Lord God, we come before you this morning with praise and adoration. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord, we come with thanksgiving for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, we come with thanksgiving for salvation that you have given us in the person of Jesus Christ and redeeming us from sin and Satan and redeeming us that we might be equipped to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you and praise be unto you. And we come today, Lord, we want to just offer our praise and adoration by all that we think, all that we say, all that we do. Use this hour, Lord, or use us in this hour that we might lift you up and bring glory to you. Thank you for the privilege of being your people. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and just caring enough for us to send your Son to be our Savior, to redeem us. And Father, we ask this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Now praying as he taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. It's printed on page 716 in your hymnal, or it's on the screen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son,
our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I wouldn't mind checking the thermostat. Maybe turn that down a little cooler. Thanks. Our call to confession is from Daniel chapter 9, verse 4 through 5. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. Our prayer of confession is in unison. If you please join with me. God of mystery, we want to stay awake and be ready for your surprises. But we are tired and overcome with the usual routine. We want to wait patiently for the fulfillment of your kingdom. But we are frustrated by our need for immediate gratification. We want to believe your promises from ancient days, but we are overwhelmed with postmodern doubts. Come to us again, O God. Awaken us with your unexpected grace. Shock us with your daring mercy. Lift us up in authority and set our feet on your path once more. Your continuing silence. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Thank you.
that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean. Will you hear me when I'm calling? Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You've told me who I am. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am
offertory sentence, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. If our ushers will please come forward. Thank you.
Say one thing before I sing. I didn't write this one. I wish I had of. But it struck me because it has a line in there I've never seen before in a Christian song. Why should I fear man? I've never heard that before in a song. With this new administration, I have a lot of fears. Some policies have been suggested that are kind of scary. And then God reminded me that, why should I fear man? You know, if we turn from our sins and obey the Lord, He has our back. And there's no amount of bullies, you know, that are equal to that. So, why should I fear man when You made the heaven? Why should I be afraid when You put the stars in play? Why should I lose heart when I know how great You are? Why should I give up when Your plans are full of love? In this world You will have trouble, but You have overcome the world. You shine brighter than the brightest star. Your love is purer than the purest heart. You shine, filling us with courage and strength to follow You. If you know that, sing along. I'll do it a couple times. Just to sing it to Jesus. You shine bright
brighter than the brightest star. Your love is purer than the purest heart. You shine, filling us with courage and strength to follow you. Brightest star, your love is purer than the purest heart. You shine, filling us with courage and strength to follow.
Children's time with Miss Andrea. So if the children will please come forward, and then you may go to children's church. We're glad Miss Andrea is feeling better this week. Before we get started with the children's message this morning, I always count on Mike Bryan to do this, but he's not here this morning. Today we're honoring our veterans, and I just don't ever want to have Veterans Day go by that we don't ask those people to please be recognized. So if you are a veteran of our country, please stand up so we can thank you. We don't ever need to forget what sacrifice you made and those that are sacrificing right now.
Andrea, and to that, on the picture, shows picture on your bulletin, shows people that didn't make it home, that can't stand up. Be thankful for them. And then a nice message on the printed page, back side of your bulletin, too. So we'll call that to the attention also.
Thank you. Hello there. Good morning. I really can thank you all for my cards from last week. I had one of those good old 24-hour viruses that hit me. And if you've ever had a virus, you know how glad you are when they go away. They come on really quick, but thank heavens they go away really quick, too. But when they've got you, they've got you. So your cards were a really bright spot Sunday evening when I finally was able to actually sit up and look at something. So I appreciate it more than you'll ever know. I want to talk to you all this morning about trust. And y'all know, about a month ago, it actually hasn't quite been a month yet, women. Nope, yep. We weaned our baby colt Friday, this Friday, but anyway, we weaned him from his mom. And when we weaned him, we put him in with two of our geldings, and they're actually brothers of his, but we put him in, and one of them's 5 years old, one of them's 2 years old, and then Friday is just like 8 months old now. But we put him in there with them. And they have learned to get along really well. Thank goodness Trapper and Skipper are really sweet horses to other horses. But I walked in the other morning to take care of them and feed them, and you'll never believe what I found. They all have their own stall, and we leave the doors open for them so they can come and go as they like. The only time we close the doors behind them is when we feed them so they can eat in peace, because Friday eats slower than the other two. But at night, guess what they do? They all sleep in one stall together. Now, the stalls are about 12 by 12, but three horses in there together is pretty tight. And the most amazing thing is, not only does Friday sleep in there with the other two, but he lays down between them, at just like he did with his mom. So he obviously has become very trusting of Skip and Trapper, that they won't hurt him, step on him, or do anything mean to him while he's sleeping at night, because he lays flat out between them just like he did when he was a baby. And the reason I know that is when I go up to feed, they're all in there, they're still standing there, and they have to wait sometimes till Friday gets up before they come out.
So, I looked up the word trust in the dictionary this morning because I wanted to see what the Webster said trust was. And it said it's having complete confidence in something. Well, you would say that Friday has complete confidence in those other two horses, wouldn't you? He's not the least bit worried about what they're going to do to him when he is sound asleep. And you know what? It made me start thinking about us. And thank you so much for the song that you shared and the message there, because that is exactly what I was thinking about. Who else should we trust more than our Lord and Savior? He gave His life for us. He loves us more than anything in the entire world, and He's always with us. We carry Him right here in our hearts. And isn't that a wonderful message to be able to share with people who don't know Him? To be able to give them that peace and trust and that total confidence. And in the Bible, it tells us for us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And I, you know, that's absolutely what we need to remember, especially in times of trouble. We need to lean on our trust in the Lord. We need to reach out to those that love us in Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm going to embarrass somebody real bad right now, but Miss Mary Beth, I call her all the time, especially when I'm going in the wrong direction. You know, feeling sorry for myself or whatever. And she always gets me back where I need to be. Thank you. I love you. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep our Lord right here. Trust in Him. Trust in how? With what? Complete confidence. That's what we've got. Complete confidence. Let's go up and sing this message.
Scripture lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is an old camp song. I'm sure that a lot of us will remember it from our youth. You can go online and you can learn.
A car, it is so important that we keep that oil checked. And I keep saying, have you checked the oil in your car? And I keep checking the oil. And sometimes you have to add some oil. And if you don't add enough, if you don't have enough, you can be in trouble. In the kitchen! Oil enables you to fry food, and everybody knows that fried food is so tasty, and say how healthy it was. But if you try to fry it without oil, we're in trouble. Oil. Do you have enough oil in your lamp? At that time, what time is that passage referring to? Well, go back in the Gospel of Matthew, a page are more than one page. Chapter 24, beginning with verse 26, Jesus is talking about His return. When basically it's all over but the shouting. When this earth, life here, is over. Jesus is coming back. And then, in that same chapter, 24, He talks about remaining watchful. And then this is, at that time, when Jesus comes back, He's telling us how it's going to be. It's going to be like this. Or, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like these 10 virgins that you have in their situation that you have just read about or heard read about or followed along with. So this is a story about a wedding. It's a parable. And a parable is a story. A simple, somewhat simple story that people were familiar with, but Jesus used these situations to teach divine truths. Everyday situations are occasional situations. In this case, I guess, there may have been a wedding every day, but occasional situation at least to teach a divine truth. Weddings were a part of Jesus' teaching and a part of His life. We know the first miracle He performed, recorded in John, was at a wedding, and He made sure that the feast was supplied with good wine. And then, I think it's in chapter 22, He talks about a wedding feast and a man inviting his guests into the wedding feast of his son. And there He was talking about God inviting us in, and we must be equipped or dressed in faith or we won't fit. This one, talking about being supplied with the necessary ingredients needed for the feast or for getting into heaven. So it's a parable about a wedding, a parable about a bridegroom and a bride, a story about virgins or attendants to the bride or to the couple. It's a story, though, about lamps. You could say, well, it's just a story about lamps and oil that goes into the lamps. And it's a story about a feast. You can find that. And you can also find it's a story about a door. A door that goes into the feast, or the entrance way into the feast. But it's really a story about heaven. And I've said that already, but let me say it again. This is a story about heaven. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. And then you have the story. It's a story about heaven. About getting into heaven. It's about being sure that we are properly equipped to get into heaven. That we are sufficiently supplied, if you will. That we are fully supplied with oil for our spiritual oil, for our spiritual lamps. It's a warning, if you will. It's a warning about Jesus coming back. Or maybe it'd be better to say it's just notification. It's notification. But in that notification, it's a warning. I've gotten I received some notifications in the mail notifying me that a certain bill was due. And then I've had some warnings. They will come and arrest me and... No, they don't arrest for private debts anymore, do they? And put me in jail. Some of the letters act like that. Sometimes we forget to pay that bill. It's only $3.32, and it's or 18 cents or something like that. But this is notification or a warning, if you want to go to that, about Jesus coming to take the people who are well supplied, sufficiently supplied with spiritual blessings into heaven. You find that he is coming back. He said he is coming back in John 14. He said, I'm going to prepare this place for you. He's going to free from where he, from whence he came, and to prepare this place in the presence of God for us. And he said, I'll go and prepare this place, and then I'll come back to receive you unto myself, that we may be together, that where I am, there you may be also. And then in Acts chapter 11, Jesus was out with the disciples about to be lifted up in heaven. And he was. He was taken up on a cloud. And the disciples were standing there and said, oh my graciousness, or something like that. That's the off-color slang phrase today, isn't it? OMG. Oh my goodness. Did you see that? And the other one said, yeah, I saw that. I was standing here right with you. You think I'm blind? Did you see that? And it was an astounding thing to call their attention to. My goodness. God took him up to heaven. And they were standing there in their astonishment. And some angels there, some men, said, don't just stand here. Do something. Said, he's gone. But he's coming back. And you'll see him coming back the way he went away. And then, that's in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, where they told him to, the angels told them to, that he was coming back in the way he left. And then in 1 Thessalonians, I've referred to this so much, I've read it at so many grave sites. The Thessalonians were concerned about what happened to those who died before Jesus came back. So they were convinced that he was going to come back in their lifetime. And they were concerned about, what about these people that died before he comes back? Well, the Apostle Paul, great insight. God blessed him with insight, in the insight and inspiration and wisdom. And he said, well, says Jesus is going to come back. He's going to be up in the clouds. And how he's going to do that, I don't know, but it's going to happen. And says he's going to call everybody who's died believing in him out of the grave. There's a lot of breaking of graves, disturbing of tombstones, as I grew up calling them, grave markers, and the dead in Christ, those who are asleep in Jesus, going to be raised up out of the grave. And it'll be a resurrected body. The body will be, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, as he wrote to the Corinthians about this, it'll be a different body, but still a recognizable body. And it raised them up out of the grave. But if we happen to be alive, we who are alive and remain until his coming, he says he's going to call us up second, and we're going to join together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's why we refer to heaven as being up, etc., etc., etc. And Jesus was lifted up. Some people say, well, is heaven really up? Well, Jesus went up, and Jesus is going to call us up. So I think it's up. Now, somebody floated around the air, some cosmonauts, and said they didn't find it. Well, maybe they didn't look in the right place. Maybe they didn't get far enough. I don't know. That's all for him to figure out. He's got it figured out. All for him to reveal to us when he is ready, for us to know when we're ready to receive it. A friend of mine is involved in person-to-person evangelism. His church is. Called Evangelism Explosion, a program out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Coleridge Presbyterian Church. And it's been around since the 50s. Dr. James Kennedy developed it. And everybody that goes to that church, somebody from that church will knock on their door sometime in the next week. I'm assuming if it's a reasonable distance, they're from some, Africa or something, that may not go there. People that live in the neighborhood, they'll go see them, and they'll talk to them about going to heaven.
Are you sure that you're going to heaven? Do you feel sure? And he says that as they go out, and we talked even as recently as Tuesday night, and even our conversation may have prompted this part of this sermon from here on out. He says 90% of the people, give or take, what, 2 or 3 points, 90% of the people that they go talk to, and this is anybody that visits their church, he says 90% will tell him, or whoever goes in that church, that they think that they're going to get to heaven because of what they do or how good they are. How good they are. Their goodness or their works. And facts are, we don't get to heaven. We can't work our way to heaven. And we can't be good enough to get to heaven unless we're perfect. Got any perfect people here? Any perfect people? Not of our own strength. No, we don't. So, that was his estimation. And these people that they witnessed to, and in that town's in Middle Tennessee, not too far from here, and if these people, 90% of the people think that we get into heaven, we can earn our way to heaven, or be good enough, or work hard enough to get into heaven. So that brings us to a question, what about you? What are you depending on to get you in heaven? Are you going to work hard enough? Are you going to be good enough? But it won't work that way. A friend of mine the other day, I talked to him. I had met his mother. He was a preacher's son. The preacher had died some time ago. The mother is a great lady. Everybody says that, and I met her a few minutes, and you can tell she's just one of those sweet, kind, nice, widow of a preacher, a Nazarene preacher, and she is a saint. And talking to her son about him, and she's about her, and he says, well, if anybody goes to heaven, my mother's going. I know that for sure. And then he quickly said, though, because he realized that you don't get to heaven on how good you are. He said, but of course we don't get there. We don't get to heaven on our goodness. Only by the grace of God. So if I don't get any further, only by the grace of God do we get into heaven. What are you depending on or trusting in to get you into heaven? Now, I've given you the answer. It must be the grace of God. Anything else, forget it. We can't earn our way. We can't buy our way. We can't be good enough. Only by the grace of God. Do you know for sure? Dr. Kennedy developed this program, and he trained people, and they're still going out after 50 years, I guess. They're going out and asking people, do you know for sure, or have you come to the point in your life that you know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? And every person that I've tried to witness to said, well, we really can't know. Guessing game. Well, it's not a guessing game according to the Bible. The Bible says we can know. And then the second question is, say you were to stand before God and ask, and He would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you answer? And that's what my friend in a neighboring church in the middle of Tennessee says, that 90% of the people say, well, I got to be good enough, or I got to work hard enough. The Bible tells us, though, how we can know for sure that we have eternal life, and I say this is synonymous with going to heaven. Have eternal life, and we'll go to be with God in heaven. And from the parable, how to be sure that we will have enough oil when Jesus comes. Be sure that we have enough oil when Jesus comes. 5 things I'm going to throw at you real quick. Heaven is a free gift. Heaven is a free gift. And you need to know that. We can't earn heaven. We don't deserve heaven. I've tried to be a good fellow. I really have. And you say, yeah, but you remember that time. And you say, yeah, but you remember that time. And I made a call yesterday, and the reason I went to that house is that word got to me that this person had missed 3 or 4 Sundays in church, and nobody had followed up on it. Please, folks, how can I work this in? I've been wondering how I can work this in this morning. And maybe the Lord, somebody, hope it's the Lord. If you miss 4 Sundays and we don't come to see you, forgive us. forgiveness and call us and say, I've missed four Sundays. And I don't know how to make up for it. One, they said they're just so tired, they're resting. And I thought, come rest in church. A lot of people come to sleep in church. So I thought, that's no valid reason. And then they were traveling one week, so that's two Sundays. They only missed three that we didn't know about. But we bummed out somewhere. And they didn't call and tell me that, but about third hand, it got back to me. I didn't mean to. So I've tried to be a good pastor, as good a pastor as anybody could be. I've worked at it. I've prayed about it. I've been diligent in it. But that time that I forgot to follow up on that person. So I'm not perfect. And so I missed the mark there. So I can't be good enough as hard as I try. And you can't either. You can't either. Heaven is a free gift. Heaven is a free gift. Eternal life with God is a free gift. We can't earn heaven. We don't deserve it. It's free. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life, and it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, because it's free, all we can do is receive it or claim it, but we can't earn it, and we don't deserve it. So, we need to know that. And if I've stressed that too much, you need to know that. You can't earn heaven. You can't be good enough. And it's a free gift. Now, but we're sinners. We're sinners. And our sin separates us from God. What is sin? It's going against, somebody called it transgressing God's law. Man is a sinner. Women, they're sinners. We're sinners. Some of us are unsaved, but some of us are saved. But if we're saved, it's by the grace of God. It's not by our own effort. We are sinners. And we cannot save ourselves. If we wanted to save ourselves, we'd have to be perfect. And we're not going to be perfect because we can't. Try as we may, we're going to stumble. We're going to slip on that spiritual banana peel or something. And we're going to stumble along the way. But perfection, if we were going to earn our way to heaven, perfection is what would be required, and we don't have it. God is a merciful God, and He wants us to inherit eternal life. He wants us to be blessed with it. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. But sin separates us from Him. But so, there's a little problem, if you will. A God of mercy, but a God of justice. A God who loves us, but a God who is just. How do we solve the problem? He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to earth. Actually, it was Him putting on flesh and blood and coming to earth Himself. It was God, who is the Spirit, putting on a human body and coming to earth. And Jesus is the all that we need for heaven. Required for heaven. God sent Jesus. Jesus is called the infinite God-man, fully God, fully man, God in the flesh, God in a human body. John chapter 1, the first 14 verses, is probably the best place you can find this. And in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was God, and Jesus was made flesh, and dwelt among us, or came to earth to live among us. He came to earth. He lived a sinless life. but he did more than this. He set such a great example with a sinless life. He didn't stumble. He didn't fall. He didn't falter. There wasn't that day, you remember that day when you did this and you thought nobody was watching. Jesus didn't have to deal with that. He lived a sinless life. But he did more. He died on the cross for us. And he could do that, number one, because he was God's Son. Conceived of the Holy Spirit. Born of the Virgin Mary. He was God in the flesh. And the other reason he could die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin is that his life was sinless. He was without spot. He was without blemish. He was the perfect sacrifice to be offered for our sin. So he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He was buried, but he rose from the grave, purchasing a place for us in heaven. Overcoming our sin, overcoming our death that we are due because of our sins. The Bible says that the soul that sins, it shall die. God will by no means clear the guilty of their sin, but he will forgive the guilty through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ bore our sin in his body on the cross and offers to us eternal life, heaven, as a free gift. And all we can do with a gift is receive it. If we do anything for it more than receive it, it's not a gift. It's payment. He don't owe us anything. It's a free gift. And we, all we can do with that gift is receive it. How do we receive the gift of heaven? The gift of eternal life. The gift of sufficient oil for our spiritual oil for our spiritual persons to go into heaven. Through faith. Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body to purchase for us heaven, and it is received. Heaven is received by faith. Saving faith. What is it? Well, it's not temporal faith. About faith concerning temporary things. We have faith about things temporary. We have faith about God leading our country. We have, this animal has faith, a somewhat of complete confidence, I think Andrea said, that the other animals won't step on him. Him or her, whichever it is. But the other animals won't step on him. That's kind of an illustration of temporal faith or temporary faith. And then there's also a head knowledge of faith. Yes, I believe in that there is a Jesus. I believe that he lives. But that's not saving faith. Because that's not just believing that he lives. Even believing that he died and rose again is coming back. If we haven't put our faith in him or our confidence or turned our lives over to him, or if we haven't claimed the gift through faith, it hadn't touched us yet. We're not sufficiently supplied. So, saving faith. Trusting in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. Or resting upon Christ alone and what he has done rather than on what you or I have done to get us into heaven. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that through him we can have forgiveness of the sin that separates us from you, the sin that keeps us out of heaven. Lord, we thank you that he paid for our sin on the cross of Calvary. And we just pray right now, Lord, that we could cease to trust in our own efforts, our own goodness, our own strength concerning our eternity with you, and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for our salvation. Lord, we know that this is sufficient oil to to enable us to go in to your great banquet around your throne with Jesus, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride. In Jesus' name, we offer our praise.
I believe the song is 329. The Savior is waiting. The Savior is waiting. 329. Let's stand together and sing both verses. And maybe your response this morning is a public one, where you say, I need to publicly express my faith in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Savior, as my hope, and my only hope of getting into heaven. Lord God, we thank you again for salvation through Jesus. Help us, Lord, to claim Him and live for Him. Not to get saved, but out of appreciation that you have saved us through our faith in Him and His work on the cross. His name, that name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.